Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings, and we're all here. For those who have found us on their radio at FM 96.9 San Antonio, we are located at 4071 Foster Road. For anyone looking for a new church home or just one to visit, come check us out on any Sunday morning at 10:30. Everyone is welcome. The scripture we selected for the opening this morning is Psalm 50 from the New Revised Standard Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire, a mighty tempest of all around him. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who have made a covenant with me by their sacrifice. The heavens declare their righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. Mark this then, you who forget God, or I will tear you apart, and there will be no one to deliver. Those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice honor me. Though to those who go the right way, I will show the salvation of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe. Blessed are you, O Lord, the Creator. Blessed are you, O Lord, who gave us our Savior, your blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we give thanks to you for this blessed day. Nothing we deserve, nothing, Lord, that we could earn. It was by your grace and mercy, your love, that you gave us this day. You gave us this day, Lord, to worship you. Thank you for this, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would empty our hearts and our minds of all the things that would cause a block between us and true worship today, that we would worship you today in spirit and truth. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you stand for our opening hymn? Wonderful Words of Life.
Sing them over.
First of all, it's great to have the choir back. They sound great. Right. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. First of all, Martha wanted me to announce that there's some dishcloths out in the front, and the cost is a love donation. Whatever you feel in your heart to give for those, they're there in the front lobby. And then on Saturday, August 20th, at Landa Park in New Braunfels, Pastor Rick and Born Again Ministries are hosting an afternoon of music, testimony, fellowship, and food from 12 noon to 6:30 p.m. Our Alamo family is invited to this Jesus Fest. Flyers are out in the bulletin board in the lobby. And in case you missed it last week, Alamo family, there is a great need to replace our worn, dirty, outdated lobby chairs with more contemporary chairs that are easily maintained for cleanliness, provide options for different seating arrangements, and allow more floor space for gatherings. Please join the campaign to raise the money for 6 new chairs. We will have a chair bucket available, it's that green bucket out there, weekly, but checks can be turned into the offering plate designated, in quotations, chairs. More information is on the easel in the lobby. And then announcements for the rest of the week. We have on Tuesday, the Women's Bible Study in Building B is at 10 o'clock, and then at 11, it's over, it's a reunion group in Building B. And then at 7:45 p.m., the choir has practice. And then on Wednesday, August 10th at 7 p.m., the Oasis meets here in the church lobby. And I want to expand a little bit more on that. The instructor on that Bible study, his name is Sergio Barrera, and he is very good at his teachings. You can go, and if you're invited to come to this Bible study, but if you can't make it and you still want to see what it's all about, you can go into the church website, which is Alamo United Methodist Church. And of course, as you know, there's more than one Alamo. And just go to the one that's on 4071 Foster Road. And once you get into the website, then you click on the ministries. And then once you click on the ministries, then the Bible study is the next one you would click on. And then scroll down and you'll find the Oasis Bible Study. Click on that. And then that will give you, they record these studies. And if you want to catch up, because right now we're in Hebrews, and right now, this week we're going to start on chapter 8. But if you want to get an introduction and then, you know, a little summary of what we've done, the first one, of course, is the introduction of Hebrews. And then the next one that you can click on is a summary of the chapters 1 through 5. And then after that, then you can click on 6 and 7, and then you'll be caught up for us for this coming Wednesday, which we will be on chapter 8. Okay. And then the birthdays for this week is Selma Sheck on the 9th, Anna Lee Morrison on the 9th, and then Harriet Williamson on the 10th. And thank you. Randy, would you like to lead the congregation in singing Happy Birthday?
Job?
No, you do a better job.
Oh, fine.
And many more.
Well, you got that part, huh?
The scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. That was joyful. Just a quick announcement, housekeeping, if you will. We've started something on Fridays. Friday mornings around 8:30, and so far we've just been the men, but I would like to invite anyone to come out Friday morning if you got the time, just for a little, maybe for an hour, a little more, to just kind of pick up our trash, because by Friday this place looks pretty bad with all the trash blowing in from across the street. So if you got some time. Come out Friday morning. I say Friday early because by 9 o'clock, 9:30, it's starting to get pretty hot out here. So I'm saying about 8 o'clock. And I believe that's all I have.
Good morning, church family. Please pray with me. Loving Father, how wonderful to know that I have peace with you through faith in Jesus Christ. The wrath that should have been poured out on me because of my sin was poured out on your only begotten Son, who willingly took the punishment that I deserved. He did so that I could have peace with you forever. Thank you for your grace and mercy toward me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As we prepare to receive our tithes and offerings, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, you are the giver, you are the sustainer, you are the source of all that we have. We ask, Lord, that as we come together, that you open our hearts so that we remember that you are we cannot outgive you, that you are more generous than we could ever be. But we return now but a small portion of your bounty. We ask, Lord, that you take our tithes and our offerings, multiply them, and use them to sustain your kingdom here on earth. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. scripture reading is Romans 5, 1 through 9. Peace and hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character of hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for the righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
church.
Good morning.
Loving Father, thank you for loving me so much that you sent Christ to die for me, to be my Savior and Lord. How I praise you for your goodness and grace, and that while I was still a sinner, Christ not only died for me and justified me by grace through faith, but his resurrected life guaranteed me freedom from all future condemnation and wrath. He alone is worthy of all glory and praise. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Before we do the prayer before the message, let's go ahead and do our affirmation of faith from 1 Timothy. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen. As we prepare our hearts for the message, let's go again to God in prayer. Father, you have called us here. You have called us together in this place in your name because we praise you and we thank you for all that you have given to each and every one of us. And we ask, Lord, that as Pastor Ted goes through the message that your Spirit has given to him, give him strength, give him courage. Let his words be only your words. And further, Lord, as we hear your word, let us take the message that you would have for each of us individually and write it on our hearts and take it with us as we leave this place to a hurting world. These things we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Cheryl. So happy to be with you this morning so that we may continue. First of all, can you hear me? Everybody hear me okay? Can you hear me over there? Joe, can you hear me okay? Okay, good deal. All right, I'm sounding a little kind of... Anyway, I'm glad I'm here today, amen? And I'm glad you're here today with us also. And we hope that you came expecting a blessing, amen? When you got up this morning, you said, I'm going to go to Alamo United Methodist Church because I know the Lord has something for me. Amen? Amen. But the question I want to ask you this morning is, what do you have for the Lord? You think on that for a minute, all right? But before I go any further, I just can't help but look at this young man over here in this corner. I tell you, I'm seeing him with this fresh haircut, and he just looks just too good. Ben, you look good. You look good, all right? Amen. When I was in the military, one of the things old Top would come around, and you didn't have a haircut. Ooh, boy. But if you had a good haircut, he'd say, hey, you look good. You look good. You look good, shipmate. Anyway, I'm happy to be here with you today, and I'm glad that you came to worship with us. Now, last week, we began in Romans chapter 1, and we talked about the problem of sin. And one of the main problems of sin was that it alienates and it separates us from God. And once you are separated, listen to me, you may have already experienced this. Once you get alienated from God, that gives the enemy, the devil, a chance to take full advantage of you and just do all kind of mean things to discourage you and disrupt our lives. So we must always remember that in this arrangement, we are all sinners. Romans 3:23 tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, so somewhere along the line, all of us have experienced the pain of sin, the pain of alienation, the pain of a broken relationship with God. I got to tell you, folks, if sometimes when you feel like God has moved, you say, well, I just don't hear anything from the Lord anymore. Well, I must tell you that the Lord is there, and he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. So this is why our gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, has all the power. Paul says in Romans 1, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's good news. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Not just a part of the world, not just this part of the African part of this continent, but the whole world. And that includes all of us from us. And Christ died for us what we could not do for ourselves. This brings us to part two in our sermon series, The Rescue from Sin. When I was growing up, I used to hear an old song, I don't know if you've heard of this song before. It's called Throw Out the Lifeline. Has anybody ever heard that old hymn? Amen. It's an old one. It goes way, way back. But it's talking about throwing out that lifeline to those who are dying, lost and dying world. And as I was studying for this sermon, I came across I came across some information about a Methodist preacher. His name was William Booth. And William Booth, that name may sound familiar to some of you. He became the president and founder of the Salvation Army. But before he became that, he was a Methodist preacher. And what he found out was that it's real hard to get people to come to Christ when they don't have any place to stay and they don't have any food to eat. So anyway, he started the Salvation Army, and he began to go out and throw the lifeline out. And he began to rescue people from sin by sharing the gospel with him. And I think this is important to understand, is that the people that he went to the lowest and the worst part of London, down to those who nobody wants anything to do with, the drunkards, the prostitutes, the gamblers, all those folks that have been cast aside. Him and his wife, Catherine, started the Salvation Army. And I thought that is just awesome what he did. And he became the general of that army, and that organization is still around today. God loves us enough to save us, and he loves you enough to bring you salvation. Now, in Romans 5:1-8, Those are some awesome passages of scripture there. And Paul lays out different truths relating to how Jesus saves us from sin. But there are three things I want you to highlight today relating to the amazing rescue that took place. And that was the timing that took place. In verse 6, it says, you see, just at the right time, oh my goodness, why we were still powerless. You see, there was nothing you could do or I could do to save ourselves. But God loved us so much that he knew that the timing was just right. And he came down in the middle of chaos on earth. And at that time, the Romans were in control of the Jews, and the Jews were waiting for someone to come and break them away from Roman oppression. They thought the Messiah had come to do this. But when Jesus got on the scene, he looked a little different than they thought. He didn't look like the king who would come in robes and crowns and with a big entourage. And he acted differently. He wasn't mean. He was very loving and very kind. And he offered salvation to all those that no one else would have anything to do with. He acted differently than they thought they would. And why? Because he was coming to save his people for something greater than Roman oppression and occupation. Jesus came to save them from sin and death. He came to rescue us from sin and death. And Paul says in Romans that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were chasing after some kind of temporary high and all kind of things, and we wanted nothing to do with God, even when our character was unsavory and we cared nothing to do with him, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he loved us even then. Oh, I tell you, folks, I can remember when I was wallowing in the depths of sin, didn't know what to do, thought I was going the right way. I thought I had all the answers. Oh, but I thank God for that day at that little tent revival. I thank God for all the times that he turned me around and said, Ted, get back on the right road. You're going the wrong way. I thank God for that. And I trust that he will do that for you also. You see, I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror, I often see my own sin, my own brokenness. You see, if we ever took note, if we ever just stopped to think and just realize just how bad off we were, oh my goodness, you'd fall on your knees and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're in pretty bad shape. And I think to myself, why on earth would a God love me after all the mean and bad things that I've done? But that's one of the most crucial factors in God's display on love. He loved us even though we were broken and sinful. Oh, I tell you, that to me, that gives me hope, it gives me joy, it gives me peace to know that even though I've sinned, God will forgive me if I ask him. If I repent and turn away, I can have another chance. This is Christ's story of redemption. The second thing about God's rescue from sin is the transformation through trials. None of us like to go through nothing. I know. I want everything to be easy, just kind of easing down the road, skipping along, you know, picking the flowers and just having a good time, and nothing bothers. But we all know that that's just not true. There are issues and trials and tribulations, things that come up in the world that we just can't handle, and it just destroys us. It makes us discouraged. But the thing about Christ's rescue is that this transformation can take place even through your trials and suffering. Romans 5, verses 3 through 4 says this, not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. What I'm trying to say this morning is if you're going to have to go through some things to be able to grow, to have your character grow, to have your relationship grow with Christ. God's going to have to deliver you from some things for you to be able to see. And he will do it. Because if you haven't been through anything, then you don't know anything. Amen? Everything is great with you. But if you've been through some things, you that have been through some things that know what I'm talking about, you know that the Lord loves you and he brought you through these things. And all these things, these trials are there to help you build up your perseverance and your character. So you see, in this life, the Bible makes it very clear that we will experience numerous trials. But God, I love this, God can use and uses each and every one of these to strengthen our faith in him. So when you're going through some things, say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the trial. Thank you, Lord, for the tribulation, because this brings me closer to you. And this will enable me to see you working in my life. You see, we always go when we hear other testimonies. But wouldn't it be awesome to have a testimony of your own to say, this is what God has done for me. God uses each and every one of those temptations to strengthen our faith. Every trial is an opportunity to praise his name and to boast in the glory that is Christ when he comes to rescue sinners. Listen to what James says in James 1 verses 2 through 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. It enables you to hold on and gives you that hope that only can come from Christ. You know, there seems to be something about hard times that we face that allows us to experience a great amount of joy. What kind of joy can you get out of a hard time? They strengthen our faith in God. I believe this is because those seasons of trials and troubles, you know why? I believe we get joy and we finally get to see God working in our life, because in order to do this, you're going to have to turn loose. You're going to have to get down to the point to where you can't do nothing for yourself. You can't help your problem. You've borrowed all the money you can. Nobody will loan you money. The bank see you come and they lock the doors. So now you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. Now you have to depend on Jesus. Amen? Because the family says, I'm not giving you nothing. You already owe me money. So you must be fully reliant on God for our every need and every breath. That's not bad, folks. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to rely on him. You know, I believe God desires to take something in your life that is currently a trial and use it for transformation. And this true growth will take place in your life, you know, when you will be required to keep your focus on Christ. Football season is starting. And the focus will be, for some of us, on the Dallas Cowboys or other teams. But I trust and pray that my focus would always be on Christ. Amen? And your focus will be on Christ as well. We don't let those things come in and upend us and keep us from seeing the Lord, because that will cause a break in fellowship with the Lord. So true growth will take place in your life, often in those seasons when you will be required to be most focused on Jesus. And though the end goal is hope, you know, this just does not happen overnight. These things are not happening overnight. This growth that I'm talking about, it doesn't happen like that. Oh, my goodness, you're going to have to, God's going to have to work with you. Amen? Amen. It took a long time for the Lord, and he's still working on me, and he may be still working on you also. Paul said that trials produce endurance. Endurance develops strong character, and character helps us to be more confident and our hope of salvation through Jesus Christ. When you have this hope of salvation in Christ, then you can go about your service for the Lord and not worry about anything. You don't worry about who's going to come against you. You don't worry about what people are going to say, or how many friends you may lose. What you're concerned about, your focus is on Christ and doing what he wants you to do. So, this character helps us to be more confident in our hope of salvation through Jesus. And this leads us to our final note. God gives what the world cannot. He gives you what the world cannot give you. And when you get a rescue from sin, and he said, Paul mentions one thing in particular at the very beginning of the passage in Romans 5, that sometimes we miss this. But this is extremely important, and that's peace. Therefore, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is this peace that he's talking about? Is this the kind of peace you can get from reading a good book? Maybe seeing a good movie? You know? No, this is a peace that only Christ can give you. This is a peace that only he can give you. In John 20:21, it says, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Peace be with you. Jesus provided peace through his sacrifice, so we don't have to be worried that we aren't doing enough to earn God's love. And I must tell you this morning, dear ones. If you're trying to earn the Lord's love, stop. You can never earn. There's nothing good in us to do that. You don't have to earn it because his love is given free. Amen? All you have to do is accept it by what? By faith. You accept it by faith. You know, that is why we can have peace. We can have peace in the place of ambition and hatred and selfishness. I wonder this morning, do you have peace in your heart right now? What's troubling you? Do you believe, if you're honest, that you need to earn God's love? I truly hope you don't, because you don't, because you can't. Do you want something more? Oh, I tell you, I know I do. I definitely want something more. I want to be able to tell the Lord, say, "Lord, I want to hear you say, 'Well done, thy good and faithful servant.'" Well done. He says, "You've been faithful over a few things, but come on in and enter into your rest. I'll make you ruler over many things." God has offered us grace, innumerable mercy, but it must be accepted through faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith," and listen to what he says, "and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." You have nothing to do with your salvation other than the believing part. It's all on Jesus. You can't boast to anybody and say, "Well, I did this to get into heaven." No, you did not. Christ did this for you so you could have eternal life. So, by grace through faith, that is the gift of God. Salvation is for all who believe. So I wonder this morning, what's holding you back? What's hindering you? What sin are you hiding in your little secret place in your heart? What do you think you're hiding from the Lord? Because I got some news for you, dear ones. You can't hide anything from Jesus. Oh, you may try to brush it off here and brush it off there, but he knows what's going on. And you know what? That sin's going to catch up with you one day. It always does. It always does. What sin is entangling you? This morning, throw it off and then run hard after Christ, who rescued you from sin and death. I want to close this morning by reading Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. 12, verse 1. Listen for God's word. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Dear ones, don't grow weary. Don't give up. Let's run together. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, oh Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this blessed gospel. And I ask right now, Lord, in your blessed name, that if there's someone here today that may be out of the ark of safety, that may not know you. They may know about you, but they haven't given their all to you. They haven't released the faith to believe and accept you as a Savior. I pray that this day will be a great day for them. And for those that know you, Lord, that may be backsliding, that may be going in the opposite direction, I pray that today that they'll get things right with you. Thank you, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. While Randy comes with the invitational hymn, I want to give the invitation to everyone this morning that don't know the Lord, that may be out of the ark of safety, who may be just on the very edge of saying, Lord, I might, but I don't know what I'm getting into. Well, you know what? You're right. You don't know what you're getting into, but I can tell you this. What you're getting into will be awesome, and God will help you through it and lead you through it. The invitation goes out to anyone who doesn't know the Lord, who wants to make things right with the Lord. You ought to do this before we start with communion. The altar is open for all who wishes to come.
Would you stand for our hymn of invitation? Let us break bread together. Let us break.
Is everyone there? Do you have it? Page 38, section 15. Hello. Peggy, could you please come up with Jane? Amen. 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 Okay, Tom. As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers and your presence, your gift and your service?
Your witness.
And your witness.
I will.
Members of the household of God, I commend Jane to you for your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. The congregation responds. We give thanks given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members with you of the body of Christ in this congregation, United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gift, and our service with you. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We are so happy to have you. God bless you. God bless you. We love you. And we just look forward to you serving with us. And now, congregation, would you extend to Jane the right hand of fellowship? Ooh, that's a Baptist term. I probably shouldn't have said that. But that's would you come up and shake her hand? Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Same God.
Amen. I know. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Gayla, could you play something for us while they come around and shake her hand? Oh, thank you. Okay. Supper for communion. I believe Cheryl will have it. Yes, thank you. It's also on page 12 in your hymnals as well. The invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not heard our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time in silence, you may offer your prayers of repentance and confession to the Lord where you are, or you may come to the altar. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The great thanksgiving.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Deliver us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you. You gave it to us and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you.
Thank you. Let's continue to keep all of our homebound members in our thoughts and our prayers. Esther Goins, Esther Berryman, Elizabeth Grazulis, Hector Martinez, Esther Goins, Eileen Fader, and anyone else that you know, y'all remember or that is in your hearts and your family, your friends that are homebound. Continue to keep us all and let us know if we need to add them to our prayer list. Continued prayers for our country, all of our citizens, all of God's children around the world, the country of Ukraine, the people of Russia. Just ask God to take us and hold us in his arms and heal the world. Prayers for Sandy Bundick's grandson Patrick, her great-granddaughter Madison, and friend Nakitha Thomas. And also on the Bundick side, a joy, Andre has got a new grandson, and his name is Harrison James. So congratulations, Andre, and to all the Bundick family, and your daughter and son-in-law. Well, it's all right. Continued prayers of uplifting for Dixie Souter's sister, Leona, Gerda's sister over in Germany, Immigard, Virginia Molinoff's granddaughter, Reagan, daughter Casey and family, and continued prayers of uplifting and ask God to wrap his healing arm around Marilyn Davenport, her family, Donna Walker and her family, and for, I seem to be, I'm missing someone, but, and for Norma Glenn's family as they continue healing and recovering over the loss in their family. So God, hear our prayers. For Tessie Robinson's brother, Johnny Thompson, Cheryl Migosh's cousin, Carolyn Botkin, also lift up in prayer all of our church members and pastor and his wife, Tessie, as Frank likes to call her, First Lady. For Bonnie Chambers and her family, and for safe travels for Bonnie and the daughter Allison over in Europe, and they'll be coming back in a week or two, so prayers for God to guide them safely back home. Prayers of uplifting and support for Homer, and thank you, Homer. He does a wonderful job taking over adult Sunday class from Joe Gonzalez. So blessings and thank you, Homer. For Janice Walker and James Murphy, prayers of uplifting for Barbara Whitney and yesterday pastor Rick from Born Again Ministry, myself, and Tom. What's his name? Tom. God, I can't believe I'm. Can't even remember people today. But we all went over and saw Barbara yesterday, and she's in very good spirits, but she just can't get out. So she is, you know, if you can call her, her husband Jim, she would love to hear from you. So, please, at very least, if you can, give her a call, shout out. Myself, Pastor Jan, we can give you her phone number for ones that don't have it. But as I've said, she'd love to hear from you. So, Lord, hear our prayers for Barbara. For Lance Shaw, for Sherry Francis, and for her sister Selma. They've got Selma's husband, David. They're all, you know, with severe health issues. So, God, hear our prayers. Kathy Bedell, you know, Lord, hear our prayers for recovery as Roy and his wife Esther, as they recover from surgeries and a stroke. Lord, hear our prayers for the Woods family. Also, prayers, she got some good news a couple of days ago, but Martha's grand daughter-in-law, Ann, pray that she continues to get better. We also ask and thank God for all of everybody that goes out and does God's work to bring people to church and to do His will. So thanks be to God. I don't, is it Gene, are you going to lead us in closing prayers?
Let us prepare our hearts for prayer this morning. Oh, gracious. Oh, wonderful, awesome Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we just thank you for this day. You've been so good to us. Lord, you've led us this far, and I know you'll lead us all the way. Thank you. Lord, we're not claiming anything bad. We're going to stand on your promises. The promises that you made long ago and the promises that are in the Bible. We're standing on those, Lord. We believe in you by faith, all that you said that you would do. Be with those that are sick, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would touch them as only you can, Lord. Touch them, Lord, and heal them from their infirmities. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to go out and visit. But Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us and help us to do even more, to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. Be with those, Lord, that are facing surgeries, those who things that are coming up that they just don't understand, those that may be confused this morning, may not know what to do. Clear their minds, Lord, and let it be fixed on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done. And thank you for all that you're going to do. Bless your name, Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Because the Lord's Prayer has already been used once in this service, I will substitute Psalm 130 for our benediction. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. More than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning again. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem us. It is he who will redeem Israel from all of its iniquities. And as we depart from here today, let us remember everyone who is less fortunate than ourselves and continue to pray for them. Be friendly and be safe, and let us join again here next Sunday to receive the message our pastor brings us. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you stand for our closing hymn, Precious Name?
Precious name, oh how sweet. Name of